Amen.
Amen. Amen. Children, you get to stay with us today. I want you to listen, because as you know, after church, Miss Amber has worked very hard at making some homemade candy. Okay, maybe not, but she will have some candy for you after church if you can listen and tell her a little bit about what we're preaching today. And later on in the sermon, there's going to be a little part that I'm going to direct straight to you to kind of help you out so that you don't miss anything. Thank you. Look, I want to say thank you so much for our praise band and our singers, our praise team, and thank you, Barrett. It is a blessing to have them to lead us in worship each and every week. And I'm honored to be able to be here with you today, and I'm looking forward to preaching the Word. Now, I got a quick story for you, and I promised myself that I was going to try to stay right here. So if you see me kind of grip and hang on, it's because I want to walk. I talk a lot, and y'all know that, bless your hearts, and I walk and talk and do all kinds of stuff. But I got a quick story for you. The date was February 14th, 1996. I was the assistant store director at the Brookshires on North Market in Shreveport. I had started work at Brookshires in 1982, and within 9 months, I had been promoted to a lead assistant store manager or store director, and I had worked at just about all the Shreveport-Bossier locations at some point during my career. Life was good. Career was good. I really, truly believed with all my heart that I would retire from Brookshire Grocery Company. I loved what I did. I loved the people. I loved the work. I loved the customers, most of them. Y'all, any of y'all who ever worked in retail or have dealt with customers can understand that sometimes you want to choke them. Some of them, you know, you love. I mean, there were some sweet, sweet folks, you know, just like we have here in church, you know. I mean, they would come in sometimes with a plate of cookies or something, just bless your heart with stuff like that. So I really loved my job. But God had other plans for my life. About 8 months before that fateful day, we got a new district manager. New guy, got promoted, been with the company for a while, but he was from Tyler, the main office, and they put him over my district. For some reason, for day one, the first time we met, that man did not like me at all. And still to this day, I do not understand why. Therefore, I really didn't care too much for him either, but he was my big boss. And he and I were like oil and water. We just didn't mix. And eventually, I got called into his office for a meeting. And he sat me down, and he said, "I'm wanting to transfer you to another store as assistant manager, but I want you to go to this other store." I did not want to go to that store. I liked it where I was. I had worked at just about every store, and I was happy there. And so I resisted a little. And then next thing you know, the VP was there. I did not know he was in from Tyler, and he came in, at which point there was a tag team, and I didn't have a partner. And so to sum it up, in a moment of insanity, I just quit. Fine, I got another option. There's three options on the table. I can move here and do this, or you can demote me and make me a stocker somewhere, or the third option is I'll just quit. So in insanity, I quit. I walked away. And I remember going back and driving to my store, and I walked in with tears in my eyes and turned my keys in, and my heart was broke. Now, I had no job, no benefits, no income. Now, look, Mandy was 11 years old. Patrick was 9. Terry was, for the sake of our marriage, I'm not going to reveal that. I'll stop right there. But look, I had no benefits. I had no job, no income, and no backup plan. Now, as a little fun side note, I've always believed, and Terry helped me believe this, that Valentine's Day is kind of for the ladies, right, guys? I mean, it's really for the ladies. But in all our years of marriage, Terry decided to send me flowers on that day. Unfortunately for me, I'd already quit by the time they got delivered. So it was a little awkward the next day going in and said, yeah, I'm still quit, but can I have my flowers that my wife sent me on Valentine's Day? Look, that was a tough time in my life. It was a tough time in our life. But I knew in my heart that God would provide me a new job. And he did. It just wasn't very quickly. And there were some trying times. But as God always is, he's always, always on time. But during my unemployment, I went on some crazy interviews. You know, I remember looking in the paper, and, man, I went on one interview, and it was a sign company or something. They wanted you to, I mean, everything was for the company. I mean, basically, they paid you to sell their signs, and you got paid very little. On gas, on car, on, you know, it was horrible, and absolutely no benefits. And there were plenty of interviews, and when I finally get there and start talking to them, they had no benefits. But what we're going to talk today about is the benefits of God. So let me ask you to turn, if you would, to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. I'll give you a second to get there. This is a Psalm of David, as we're going through the Psalms in the summer of Psalms. And David is credited for writing this song. And I know it's a long psalm, but we're going to get through it. There's some things that I really want us to touch on this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like the grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. For the wind passes over it and is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and all, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of the word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So as we begin looking at this psalm, and we know now that it's the Psalm of David, but we really need to look and kind of see what David is trying to tell us here. And this psalm starts out with a praise. Now it's a personal praise. It's a personal praise of David and worship. And it also ends with a praise. A universal call, if you would, for all creation, all angels, all heavenly hosts to praise God and to worship him. And but in between there is packed just tons and tons of reasons as to why we need to thank God and praise him every single minute of every day. Thanking God for all of his benefits. Now, before I start on this, I want to take just a minute to talk to your church family about worship and how crucial it is in our walk with the Lord. You see, David, I would say if you ask me, who maybe one of the greatest worshipers of all time of God would be, I would think of King David. The talent that the man was given, the talent that he had, that he used. He wrote so many of the Psalms and these poems and hymns, and he knew about worship. You know, Brother Peter said something last week, and I didn't write it down, but it was something to the effect of worship's not so much about the sound coming out of our mouth, but the sound within our heart. And let me just explain that worship is not just something we come up here and do on Sunday morning and we sing a few songs and we sing praises to Him. Worship, my friends, is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. It should be a part of our everyday life. And you know, and I know, that we were created for worship. That's why we were created. So every minute of every day, our life should reflect an attitude of worship to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, one of my favorite verses, says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." When you do all for the glory of God, what are you doing? You're worshiping Him. When we come in together and we meet and we sing corporately together, our focus needs to be up and not this way. It needs to be up. And so when we come into this sanctuary as a body of believers, my prayer and my desire is that each one of us, that our heart would be prepared for that worship. That when we come in here on Sunday morning, that we've already established in my mind, in our mind, that we're going to worship Him and we're going to thank Him now for all that He's done, for all of His benefits. You know, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of many times, you know, coming in and I might be concerned about a song that we're singing that I'm having a little trouble with, or can I actually hit that note? And y'all know sometimes I don't hit notes very well. That's not what's important. I need to be focused on Him and praising Him, thanking Him that I woke up this morning, thanking Him for all the benefits. So when we come in, let me ask you, church family, and this should be no surprise as your worship pastor, is let's try to take a minute, even just a minute, like we stopped when we sat down this morning at the very beginning of it, and we were talking about prayer. I pray that we'd be able to take just a second, just a minute or two, where we get our mind and our focus on Him and why we're truly here, and start focusing all of our worship on Him. You know, not everybody enjoys the same style of music. I wish Mike Mayfield was here. There, Mike's out of town. Mike likes everything fast. Mike wants it to go fast. He just does. He tells me all the time, too, "Can we speed that up a little bit?" You know, now I tend to be maybe sometimes a little on the slower side. I don't know. But I do know this, that our worship should be focused on Him. I heard a story not long ago. A well-known pastor, a lady came up to him after service, and she said, "Pastor, let me tell you, I didn't like worship at all today. I did not like the worship service at all." And the pastor just kind of smiled and looked there, and he said, "You know, that's really good, because we weren't here worshiping you." And that's true. So I know you only not like every song. I don't like every song that's in the hymn book or what have you. But it's not about the song, and it's not about loud, and it's not about soft. It's about the content of the song and who it is we're worshiping. So now we're going to look at why we gather and why we should be prepared to worship. Because David in this psalm gives us tons of reasons why we should thank God for all of His benefits. Verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." You know, David's crying out a praise to the Lord. Yeah. With all that He is. Have you ever praised God where you thought, "I'm praising Him, I'm thanking Him, He's been so good to me, something good might have happened. I got a job, Terry was thankful, I'm sure she was praising." And you're trying your best just to give Him every ounce of your being, just praising Him. Doesn't it feel like it's really never enough? And it isn't really enough, but He still longs to have us. Praise him. And David here, I can just see him crying out and praising God. Lord, I want to bless you with every ounce of my being. And then he goes on and he says it again. You know, it's important when we're studying the Bible, we're reading the Bible, and something's repeated. And usually something's repeated right away. That means, hey, knucklehead, you need to get this. You need to look at this. David does it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, in verse 2, and forget not all of his benefits. He's reminding us that we should praise God for all that he's done. Not only all that he's done in the past, all that he's doing right now in your life, all that he's going to do in the future. So we're going to talk about a few of the benefits that God has. Verse 3, the first part says, who forgives all your iniquities. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. We're not going to turn a whole bunch of places. I want to keep you right there in Psalm 103. But if you would, turn over to Psalm 51. Turn to Psalm 51. This is another psalm of David. Now look, if anybody knew about forgiveness, it was David. Now, I'm not going to go through and rehash all that David did and all the sins that he committed. He did some pretty bad stuff. But he knew about forgiveness. Psalm 51, verse 1 says this. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You know, church family, we might ought to read this and pray this every night before we go to bed. Say, God, forgive me for all the mess ups today, because we're going to mess up. This is an awesome prayer. You may say, well, you're doing a lot of Old Testament. Well, the Apostle Peter in Acts 3:19 was preaching. He said this, repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. So we need to turn back and not turn away from God. God forgives those who repent. One of the benefits is forgiveness. The next part of verse 3 says, who heals all your diseases? Look, we know that God is the ultimate healer. We know that God is sovereign, and we know that God is in control. But we also know that, and you know personally, that God does not heal all diseases. In all sicknesses. He doesn't. But yet he's still the healer. He heals spiritually. But not all will be healed spiritually. You know, one person that I'm going to talk about tonight. And y'all are welcome to come back tonight. It's going to be a lot more informal, if you would. But we're going to talk about a lady, a Christian lady, that wrote many, many hymns. In her lifetime, but she was born, right after she was born, she was blind her whole life. And I'm sure that during her life, she prayed and asked God to heal her of her blindness. But he never did. He never did. You know, Paul talked about having this thorn in the flesh, and there's been a lot of scholars, a lot more smarter than I am, who tried to figure out exactly what that thorn in the flesh may be, but they don't know for sure. Some say that maybe it was his eyesight. I mean, who knows? Some say, I read something one day where they said, well, maybe on the road to Damascus where he was blinded, and even though, you know, he received his sight again, maybe it wasn't perfect. Maybe he never was really able to see well again, and maybe that was the thorn, and he asked that God remove it, and God never removed it. Now, look, who's any more spiritual than Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament? God didn't heal him of that, and God may not heal us of all ours. But I think he may be talking about something else here as well. Because the first part, who forgives all your iniquities, he's talking about forgiveness and who heals all your diseases. But what's the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin is a disease that eats out of us. Constantly we're battling temptation. Constantly we're battling sin. That causes us to falter. But when we repent, God forgives. And he heals us of that disease of sin. Spiritually, we will be healed. Another benefit is healing. God's healing. Verse 4 and 5, if you would look at that back in 103, Psalm 103. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Who satisfies you with good. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, that's one thing that I need to be praying a lot more because I need to be renewed. My body aches a lot, as some of yours do. And he moves on and he begins talking about, hey, God's constant care and his provision for us. You know, God is so good. He takes such good care of us. Even when I was without a job, he took care of me and my family. He did. But as I was reading this and I was thinking about how we should praise him for his mercy and grace and his steadfast love and wonderful, merciful Savior, is a song that's just full of praising him. But one of my favorite hymns is Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Just listen to these. You know them by heart. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thou compassions, they fail not. Thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. That's another reason we need to pray. And when you wake up in the morning, yeah, you might not feel well. You may be sore or achy, but we need to praise God and thank him for another day, for another morning. New mercies I see. All I have needed. I'm out of work. But yet, we never hungered because God provided. Thy hand hath provided, great is thy faithfulness. Then he goes in summer and winter and springtime and harvest. Later, in verses 21 and 22, he talks about, you know, the heavenly host and all creation praising him. This hymn goes right along with it. Join with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. And then finally, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. You know, let's see who wrote that. Thomas Chisholm. What we're talking about here in Psalms 103, pretty much, you could almost wrap that up. So God is constant. God is faithful. That's another reason. That's another benefit. Moving on, verse 6-10, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. And listen to this, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins. That's a praise in itself. Nor repay us according to our iniquities. You know, now David, as he's writing this, he's looking back on the past. And he's talking about Moses. And you know all the stories of Israel. The times where he saved them out of the mess they were. Out of Egypt. And then, you know, they got a little hungry, and then they get upset, and they start grumbling and complaining. They were constantly, he would bless, and they would complain, and he would bless, and they would complain. But yet, God, over and over and over again, blessed them. They didn't deserve it. Are we any different? Over and over and over, we tend to fail him. But yet, through his great mercy and his grace and his love and his compassion, he deals with us in a special way. You know, we deserve hell. We deserve death. But it says here, he doesn't deal with us according to our sins. Now let me say this at this point. Psalm 103 is dealing with believers, worshipers. And I praise God every day that he doesn't deal with me according to the sins I commit. Now verses 11 and 12, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward us and those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Kids, all you children that are in here, I want you to listen up to me now. This is your time to shine, okay? As far as the heavens are above the earth, you know, I got thinking, well, how big is the universe? So So I did what we all do, right? I picked up my smartphone and I Googled it. That's what we do, right? So scientists seem to agree, but they can't really say for sure because they can only measure it so far. But it's estimated to be at least 13.8 billion light years. Now, I know Wyatt will probably check me on this, so I'm going to try to get it right. Now, a light year is the distance light travels in 1 year. And they say that light can travel in 1 year 5.88 trillion miles. Now, if you think about it, they estimate the universe to be 13.8 billion light years. And light travels 5.88 trillion miles in one year. That's a long time. Basically, kids, I guess I would say that God's mercy and God's love for us is limitless. So, how many of you kids know who Buzz Lightyear is? Raise your hand. Y'all know? Do y'all know what Buzz says all the time? What does he say? That's how much God's mercy and grace is, to infinity and beyond. All right, now look, that's what I want you to tell Miss Amber so you can get candy, because when this is done, I'm going to go back there and I'm going to tell her and I'm going to give me some candy too. Okay? To infinity and beyond. How do you measure that? You can't measure that. Neither can you measure as far as the east is to the west. No, you can't. It can't be measured. So God's love and God's mercy and God's grace for us is limitless, boundless. That's another one of God's benefits. Are you seeing? These benefits are just growing and growing and growing. Verse 13 through 18 is, a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place is known no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. To those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. You know, God's compassion toward us is like a father to his children. And that's exactly what it is. You know, I love my children. I really love my grandchildren. Now, all you with grandchildren understand what I'm talking about. You love your children. But there's something special about those grandchildren. But as much as I love my precious Rowdy and Langston, the love that I have for him, as great as it is, nowhere compares to the love that our Heavenly Father has for me and you. There's just no comparison. And that's another benefit, is that it says God's love for us is from everlasting to everlasting. But notice in verse 14 through 16, he reminds us of what we are. Can we all agree in Genesis 1, when it says, in the beginning, God, and God created, and it talks about the moon and the stars and the waters and the earth, and then he created us. God created me and you. That should be enough in itself to praise him and thank him for these benefits. But here we're reminded we are but dust. Our life is very short and fragile compared to eternity. Now, if you notice the picture up there, I know it's kind of hard to see, but that's a little child, and that's supposed to be, I think they call it a red-seeded dandelion. I Googled that too, by the way. How many there have ever done that? A lot of us, right? We've all found one of those, even as a kid, and we picked it up, and we blew it out, and within seconds, it was gone. You just had a stem there. You know, the Bible talks about that. That's about the extent of our life compared to eternity. You know, James chapter 4 says that our life is but a mist, but a vapor. This life that we're living here, compared to eternity, is really nothing. Our life in this world is very, very brief. We don't need to waste any time that we have here. In verse 19, the psalmist tells us that the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and he rules over all. And then he goes on, verse 20 through 22, and that's where David kind of gives us a universal call to praise God. You know, bless the Lord, O you angels. He's back to praising, right? He's already established all these benefits and all these things that God does and the great measure of his love. And then he goes back to praising him here, and it's like, bless the Lord, O you angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. He's telling the angels, praise him. Bless the Lord, all his host, the heavenly host, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. All creation should moan and praise and worship Almighty God, for he's the creator. And David ends it, bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, I started out this morning telling you a little story of what happened to me in 1996. And that God blessed me with a new job April 15th. You know, it's funny that I can remember. You know, one of those days, Valentine's Day, Terry showed her love and appreciation to me. And the other hire date was April 15th, and now the IRS shows me their love and care and lack thereof that they have for me. So if you ever ask, well, how does he remember that? He's getting old, how does he remember that? Well, Valentine's Day was a lot of love, and the 15th is not very pleasant most of the time for me. But you know, I had a new job. I had benefits. It was an awesome thing. God was providing for my family again. But here's the part I want you to listen to. Here's the most important part. That through all that, through that difficult time that I had in my life, God changed my life forever. See, what was difficult and hard, I can look back now and see that it's really joy and peace. Because here's the truth. When I got that new job, I didn't miss any more ball games. I missed very little family stuff. I had the flexibility to where I could be at all. I didn't miss graduations. I didn't miss ring ceremonies. I didn't have to miss anything that my kids did, unless I chose to, which was rare. God had given me a job that I had that flexibility. Here's what else it did. I was able to go to church every Sunday. I was able to go to church on Wednesday night. I was able to serve the Lord. Here's what happened. October 1996, I got saved. God changed me. Now, I honestly, with all my heart, don't believe that I would be standing before you right now had I not lost that job. Because God was working all this out the whole time. See, I thought I was saved. I thought I got saved back in 1991. But, you know, through all those years, there were always struggles. And there were always doubts. Man, it didn't take much. I could get a good preacher. We had a tent revival one time over there, a big tent revival, and this old guy came. He was a hoot. But, I mean, he'd take one of them guys to preach a message, and I'd be all the way home and be thinking, man, am I really saved? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Let me tell you, when I got saved in October 1996, I knew it was sealed. It's a done deal. I hadn't doubted it since. Now, Peter said something last week that kind of stuck with me. You know, because I've always been one of these that, you know, once saved, always saved. Look, I still believe when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, when you've accepted him, God puts him in his, you're in his hands and there is nothing. There is absolutely nothing that's going to pry you out of his hands. Nothing. Peter said something interesting last week, though, and it got me thinking about the time that I spent those years in between where I was having doubts and I wasn't sure. He said, if saved, always saved. You see, I was living that if saved, always saved. I wanted to believe, but look, I got it right. Now listen, God offers these benefits that I was talking about this morning, those benefits are those who have accepted Jesus. You know, there have been millions and millions who have been and millions more who are yet to come who refuse and deny Jesus Christ. In our culture today, there are many who believe that God is good and God is loving. There's many, there's guys in the pulpit that all they preach is God is love. And look, God is love. But there's many who believe, well, how could a God who is love ever send somebody to hell? Let me tell you, they're mistaken if they believe that. Because we serve a righteous, just God. And our God has said in His Word what we must do to be saved. In order to receive all the benefits that I talked about this morning, you have to be saved. You have to have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or those benefits aren't yours until you do. It's the only way. There's no gray area. This is the hard part of the gospel. There's no black or white. I mean, there's no gray area. It's all black and white. Either you have or you haven't. You know, either you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you've rejected Him and you're going to spend eternity in hell. That's the gospel. But the gospel really is good news. That's great news. You don't look like it's great news this morning. But it is. Because, you know, today you can choose life. You can choose life today. If you're out here this morning and there's any shred of doubt, when we have the invitation, I want you to come down there and you talk to me or Wyatt. Or if you feel more comfortable talking to one of your Sunday school teachers, I don't care. But if you have any doubts, don't wait. Remember what I said about James chapter 4? That our life is but a mist and a vapor. If you have no promise or guarantee of tomorrow. I'm not saying that to scare anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. Life's short. But the good news is that God is willing to give you all these benefits for all eternity. And I will know this. I've looked at a lot of benefits. And I know for a fact that God has the best retirement plan of any. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray with us. We're going to have our invitation time. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for all Your benefits. And Lord, it is good news. The gospel is good news. Lord, You don't give us what we deserve. Lord, we praise You and thank You. Lord, I pray that our life would be that. Praise, worship, thanking You for all the benefits, all the good that You do, Father. But my desire in my heart this morning is that if there is one soul in here that does not know You, that today would be the day of their salvation. They wouldn't put it off. That they would come forward. Father, I wish everybody would take Your benefits. But there are many who won't. But God, You are so good. And You are so righteous. And You are so just. And You love us so much. And Lord, I just have to praise You this morning. And worship You. And thank You for all that You do. Bless this time now. We ask this in Your name.